plan on joining us, I think that info is in the bulletin as well. And if not, we'll post this on Facebook for the address and all that stuff. All right. Would you guys join me in prayer this morning? Oh, hang on one second. Men's prayer breakfast this coming Saturday. All right. That is the 6th? 7th? Math's not. I became a pastor because math is not my strong suit. January 7th, men's prayer breakfast. 8:30? 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock, fireplace room, men's prayer breakfast. All right. Would you guys pray with me this morning? God, we just thank you so much for a new year, a year of opportunity, a year of a blank canvas, a fresh start. We just thank you so much for faithfully walking with us in this year that has passed, and we just trust that you're going to remain faithful in this year to come. As we dive into your scripture this morning, just help us to have our eyes open and just know what it is that you would have for us this morning. God, for those who are starting this year off sick or burdened or whatever the case may be, God, we just lift them up this morning. You know, there are several at home that just can't be here because of health reasons, or God, we want to ask your special touch on them this morning. God, we thank you for all the ways you've blessed us and all the many things that you've done for us. And as we move forward in this service, we just want to submit to you. We want to start 2023 by just surrendering our will and following what you do. So God, help us this morning as we get into your word to just know what it is that you have for us. We just invite your Holy Spirit to do a life-changing work this morning within us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I've done several New Year messages now, and we're going a little bit different direction. And it might feel like a Christmas message to start with, but we'll get there. It's not, I can assure you. So, it is a new year, and it literally started last night at 12. This is a first for me, I think, having Christmas and New Year's on a Sunday. And I looked at the calendar. It's going to be 2033 before this happens again. Isn't that crazy? Because there's a leap year in there somewhere, so we get jostled around. But 11 years from now, we'll have 11 years, we'll have Christmas again on a Sunday. Anyway, so it's New Year's, and everybody makes resolutions, right? Have you made any resolutions? Okay, a few of us. Really? Just two? Have we made resolutions? No. Okay, good. Good. We're a bunch of realists. I get it. I like it. At this point, they're like, what's the point, right? Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Oh, why would you even make one? We're just going to quit anyway. Well, if you have made a resolution, I would hope that you've stuck with it so far, right? Because it's only been about 8 hours or so, 10 hours, I guess. But if you've made resolutions, you might have made a resolution. I'll just talk to the people online because you guys are lame. but if you've made resolutions, they might be something like to lose weight or go down a couple pant sizes, or maybe to eat healthier or be healthier as a person, or maybe to save money, right? I need to, we're recession or whatever. I need to start putting money back, or maybe I need to manage my time better. These are, you know, four common ones. I know that gym memberships always spike now, and then that's where they make all their money, you know, for the 5% of the people that are going to actually go and work out the rest of the year. We all like to make goals for a new year, and hopefully you do, or at least you've thought about it, about making goals for a new year. Something like having better health or better relationships, making better choices, maybe getting a better job or a better house. There's all kinds of things that we strive to in the new year. Have you made any spiritual resolutions? Maybe don't yell out no this time for me. That'd make me feel a little better. If you've made any spiritual resolutions, that might look something like, I want to read my Bible more, or I want to have perfect attendance at church, and hey, congratulations, so far so good, guys, you've done it. You've made it. perfect attendance for everybody in the room. This is great. Maybe you thought, I want to pray more this year. I want to talk to God more. Or maybe this is the year I join a small group. Or this is the year that I start a small group. Or this is the year that I have stronger relationships with people that are sharing my faith. We make spiritual resolutions the same as we do physical ones. We have a great spiritual resolution example in Scripture, and it's a weird one, but it's through the three wise men, or the three kings, or however you know them to be. Now, we know, right, that this is the nativity scene, right? But these three fellas here, they actually would not have been there at that point. Do we know this? Is this news to anybody that the wise men weren't actually there? Okay, so the wise men would have come after the fact. We kind of put them in these little nativity pictures because it gives you a good, you know, it's easy to explain the Christmas story in a picture, show, you know, what happened. Jesus was born in a manger. There were shepherds that got the news. There's the star. You know, obviously, there's animals around eating, and then there's the wise men are all part of this story of the birth of Jesus. So it's a neat little picture, but the wise men actually had this journey that happens that we're going to kind of dive into today after the fact. So Christmas is not technically over, right? We have the Epiphanies coming on January 6th. That's when you typically would celebrate the Epiphany. And all that is celebrating God revealing Jesus to the world. And it's known as the Epiphany, or it's known as Three Kings Day, because they would have come after the fact, after Christmas. So that's, they kind of have their own holiday, and it's heavily celebrated in Spanish-speaking countries. I know, like in Spain and the Dominican Republic, kids have to wait till Three Kings Day to get their presents. Did you know that? What do you think, kids? Do you want to wait till January 6th to get your Christmas presents? They're not listening either. That's okay. That'd be horrible, right? As a child, to see all the presents there and have to wait another, I don't know, like 2 weeks or so. That's a rough go, but that's what they do sometimes, and it symbolizes those gifts that the wise men brought, right? I mean, technically, it's kind of biblical. They waited till after the birth, and they brought gifts, so that's what they're representing. So we see this Three Kings Day, or this Epiphany, that kind of marks the end of the Christmas season, and typically what people that celebrate this traditionally would do is they give gifts in the morning, they'd have a big feast to kind of commemorate the end of the Christmas season. So we're going to dive in today to Matthew 2, verses 1 through 16. And this is kind of the whole story of the wise men, or they'll be called the Magi in Scripture this morning. So we're going to look at that together this morning. It's a little long, but the you can read along on the screens, or if you brought a physical Bible, you can read that as well. It starts in verse 1, it says this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you in Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up and he took the child to his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. All right, that was a lot, right? That was a lot of scripture and a long story, but that's what we read about the Magi front to back. That's the whole thing there. So the question is, what's really going on here? Well, the first thing is that the wise men were definitely not at the manger scene, right? We confirm that in scripture. On coming to the house, right, not the stable or the manger, upon coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. So they met Jesus in a house at some point after he was born. The second thing that's going on here is that Israel was in great need of a Messiah. He, being Herod, gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity under 2 years of age. So he, being Herod, he was the king of Judea for, scholars say, till about 4 AD or BCE, the common era, the time that we're counting after Jesus' birth, which means that Jesus was in Egypt till probably around 4, waiting on Herod to die. So if their king was willing to just get rid of, right, all these boys that would have helped their cause, that would have helped this kingdom, they're in great need of a Messiah. This is a very unstable, power-hungry king that we're seeing. I mean, what an awful order as king. So the second thing is that Israel was in great need of a Messiah. Third, the wise men likely arrived much later than birth. So we see in verse 16, 2 years old and under, right, accordance with when he learned that the star had appeared from the Magi. So that star appeared when Jesus was born, and Herod's ordering about 2 years or so. We can assume that the Magi got there somewhere between birth and 2 years, and this is probably a long journey. So Herod ordered this probably when he realized that the Magi weren't coming back to see him. So Jesus was probably between 6 months and a year and a half old when the Magi actually got there. And then the fourth thing that's kind of going on at this time is that God was not surprised by any of it. Isn't that crazy? That God wasn't, you send your son to earth to be born, and then all of a sudden the king that is insecure and scared of being replaced by a baby, right, puts out this crazy order. God wasn't surprised by any of it. Verse 15 says, the Lord had said through the prophet long time ago, right? The Lord had said hundreds of years before this, out of Egypt I called my son. He knew that he was going to have to send Jesus to Egypt to flee this order. God wasn't surprised by any of it. So, let this be known, this is not a Christmas message, right? It feels like it, talking about the wise men, but this is really a New Year message. And I think Christmas, you think of the stable and the manger and the shepherds and all the stuff we read in Luke chapter 2, but with these wise men, I want us to think more of like them being the New Year or the Epiphany or the end of the Christmas season. So we're talking about a New Year story today. The Magi set a great example for the New Year, and we're going to go through kind of three things that they did and set up here. So three lessons from this story to take into the New Year. The first one is look to see where God is moving. This year, look to see where God is moving. Verse 2, he says, we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Right? They were looking for a sign. They were looking for God to show them something. They were actively trying to see where God is moving. Reflecting on where you've been is important, right? It's an important thing. If we don't reflect on what we have been through, we'll never learn from it, we'll never grow from it. Reflecting on what we have, where we have been and what we have done is very important, but it can't stop there. A lot happened last year, right? Man, I mean, as a church, a lot happened individually for all of you. A lot happened, some of it very bad, some of it very good, right? We've been kind of all over the place this year. A lot has happened in 2022. Some of you are saying, I can't wait, right? I can't wait for 2023. I just want to leave last year in the dust. And some of you are saying, last year was pretty good, right? 2023 can't be as good as last year was. A lot's happened. But to move forward, we have to know where we are and where we came from. We have to be aware of what we've been through and what has been done in this last year, these last 365 days. So to think through that, start thinking, like, what did God teach me last year? What's something that God showed or revealed in my life that taught me last year that I should take with me into the new year? Who did God place into my life that I needed as a mentor, or someone that needed me to mentor them? Or what opportunities did God give me for service and for ministry? These are questions we need to think about, right? Especially at the end of a year and the beginning of a new one. Let what God did last year kind of be your springboard into 2023. It feels so weird to say that, right? Where are the spaceships, guys? Where are they? Oh, I remember in elementary school, you write the year 2000 on something to make it feel futuristic, right? Like it's the same. There's no spaceships. Anyway, 2023, what God did last year, what God showed you, what he taught you, who he put in your life, opportunities that he gave you, let that be your springboard into this year. So if we're supposed to look and see where God is moving, how do we know, right? How do we know where God is moving? How do we know where to look or what to look for? Well, really the same way that the Magi did. This is from verse 1 and 2. It says, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. We need to learn about God. Right? We need to learn about God to know where God is moving. How did the Magi do that? Well, how did they know to look for a star, right? They knew it because of prophecy that had happened. They knew that a Savior, a Messiah, was going to be born because they were getting to know God through his word and through his prophecies to Israel. We do it the same way that the Magi did. Think about it as a relationship. If you were going to start dating someone, or you wanted to get to know someone better, or you want to become closer with your spouse, how do you do that? You talk to them, right? I'm sad that none of you said that, all right? Talk to them, very simple. You talk to them, you learn about them, you ask questions, you figure things out about each other, right? That's how you would get to know someone better, is by talking to them and listening to them. This is the same thing with God. We have scripture. We have the literal words of God talking to us that are there for us to read. And we also have prayer, which is an avenue for us to talk to God and to be spoken to as well. So if we're going to see where God's moving, we have to be able to know what God is doing and know about God, which is through scripture and prayer. So this year, let our eyes look to where God is moving. The second lesson, which is number 2, is place God as your top authority. Place God as your top authority. We have many authorities in life. This is a very free country. I'm very grateful to live here, but we still have a lot of authority, right? There's a lot of things. You have a boss at work that tells you what to do. Unless you're the boss, then you have lots of, bosses. It's funny how it works. Anyway, we have a government, right? You can't just walk into the Capitol building. They will get mad at you. There's authority there. There will be consequences. There's referees in sports that you have to listen to. There's police officers and EMTs and firefighters. You can't just, the police tape is something you're not allowed to cross, right? That's an authority. You can't just do what you please in those situations. We have teachers, if you're in school, that are the authority when you're in their classroom. Or let's say if you don't think you have authority, try running at a pool that has a lifeguard, right? They will, anyone with a whistle, basically, is authority, right? You can't, There's no fun to be had when somebody has a whistle. They are in charge, and you have to listen to them. And the consequences vary, but we do have many, many authorities. So verse 7, we see this. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me, that I may too go and worship him." So we see the Magi get a direct order from the king, right? The top authority in Jerusalem. Now, he was Roman appointed, but still, he was the king of Judea, which he would have a lot of authority. And so he tells them, pulls them aside in secret, gives them a very specific order: search carefully for this kid and come back and report to me when you found him. And he says it so that he may go and worship them too. We all know that's not what his plan was, right? He's just being sneaky. They're under the authority of a king. That's a big deal. So then we see later in the story in verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They called an audible, right? They disobeyed the king. They did the opposite of what the king asked them to do, at least the second half. They found the kid. They forgot the reporting part. Are we placing God in authority above all others? With all these different authorities, with all these different things that we are supposed to do and have to do, are we placing God at the top of that list? It would have been very, very easy. And putting, like, let's put ourselves in those shoes for a minute. Like, the most powerful guy in the land tells you to do something, and then you get warned in a dream by God not to do it. It'd be very hard to go against that authority, right? That's real consequences that you could be facing. Are we placing God in authority above all others? And then to break that down a little more, it's not just people, right, that are authorities. Sometimes we give priorities in our lives authority over God. Think about times where we're putting our money or our time and energy or our hobbies or the things that we like to do or our jobs or whatever else. We tend to prioritize that and give that authority over God as well. Are we substituting a king for the king? Are we making things in our lives kings? Are we just like the wise men? They realized very quickly that this is something a king told me to do, but this is something the king has told me to do. And I'm going to submit this no matter what the consequence. I'm going to put that to the side, and I'm going to go with what God has told me. This year, will you allow God to rule in your life? Will you allow God to be in charge, to be the authority over everything in your life this year? Number 3, give your gifts to God. Give your gifts to God. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is the real story, kids. I know you guys had some different ideas in that video last week, but the real gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi had it pretty easy. This is the one part that I wish this is all I had to do with my gifts, right? The Magi, they essentially had the Visa gift card of gift giving, right? They got to actually walk up to God and hand him a physical gift. Easy, right? We don't have it that easy. I'm sorry. We just don't. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says this: having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does act of mercy with cheerfulness. God has given us gifts to use, and he's asking us to give them back to him. Right? It's not just you jump on a camel with your whatever frankincense is and you give it to Jesus, right? Or myrrh for that matter. I'm going to admit, I'm in my mid-30s, and I only know, out of the three, I know what gold is. I couldn't tell you. If If you set frankincense and myrrh in front of me, I'd have no idea what they were. Anybody else? Okay, good. Thank you, Austin. Sorry, I had to get that out. That just popped into my brain. God's given us these gifts that He wants us to give back. Right? We are to obey God with these gifts that He's given us. So what can you do moving forward? What can you do that no one else can? What is this talent, this ability, this gift that you have that nobody else can do? What passions has God placed on your heart? What are the things that you're passionate about, the things that get you going, that motivate you, that get you excited? Chances are that's God-given. That's a gift or a passion that He's placed on you. How are you going to give your gifts back to God this year? Fresh start. 10 hours and 54 minutes in, right? We've got a whole 365 days ahead of us. How are we going to give our gifts back to God this year? So, in 2023, will you see and know where God is moving? Will you learn through Scripture and through prayer where God is moving, and will you see it, and will you go in that direction? Will you place God in full authority? Will you give God complete and total rule over your life? And will you give your gifts back to Him? Will you give God the gifts that He's given you? Will you donate your time and your talent and your treasure back to God and to the expansion of His kingdom? This all comes through daily surrender. A year is 365 days, right? But we get there one day at a time, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do we give our gifts back to God all year? How do we learn about God and see where He's going all year? How do we submit our authority to God all year? You do it by daily surrender. So today is day one of 365. Will you see where God is moving? Will you place Him in authority? And will you give your gifts back to God? Would you pray with me this morning? God, we just thank You for this story of the wise men. We thank You for these weird twists and turns that it takes, and the way that You reveal Yourself through this passage. God, help us to take this story today. Help us to be like these magi or kings or wise men or whoever they were. Help us to see You and what You're doing when You do it. Help us to move in that direction. Help us to put everything else aside and fix our eyes on You in 2023. God, help us to place You in full authority, submitting all other things. God, we have to follow rules. We know that. But help us to put You and Your word and what Your plan is ahead of anything else in our minds, especially of more importance than anything else. And God, help us really, really place passions and gifts and encourage and nudge and push and whatever we need to get those gifts going and to be using these gifts for You and Your kingdom. You know, we are Your plan to connect this world to Jesus, and You've given us passions and gifts to do that. So help us to get on board with You this year and serve and give and donate and give time and energy to You and Your cause. Help this to be the most generous year we've had. God, we just love You and we praise You this morning. Just go with us today as we leave this place. We can't thank You enough for this Christmas season, for Jesus being born, and for grace poured out on the cross. Help us to live in that this year with a fresh start and a clean slate, a blank canvas. We just thank you for this new opportunity. We love you. We praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ben's going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you're carrying a burden into this year, you felt God spoke to your heart, or there's something that you just need to deal with in prayer at this time, our altars are open. It's a great place to do that. If that's not you this morning, I would just encourage you to stand and sing with us and reflect on what God's been telling you.